Last time on the Real Vintage Podcast.
We knew that we couldn't focus so much on what we lost that we forgot what we had left. We had Tyler, we had Tiffany, and they still needed us, and our grandkids still need us. And the last thing that we wanted to happen was for Tyler and Tiffany to become resentful of their brother and his death because it robbed them of their mom and dad, and it robbed their children of their Grammy and Papa.
All that and more coming up next.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to the Real Vintage Podcast. My name is Stephen Cox, and I'm your host today, and of course with our producer, Ken Everson. And here at the Real Vintage Podcast, we certainly are thankful for our listeners. You can tune in through the Anchor FM app or the Apple Podcast or Spotify. You can find us on Facebook and the Real Vintage Podcast. Go and like it so you can kind of keep up with announcements. And you can sometimes even watch the podcast when we maybe video or whatever. And then you can go on Instagram and Twitter and find us there at the Real Vintage Podcast. Like all of our stuff. We're brand new. We're just trying to really get off the ground with some really cool interviews and some really special guests. And there's no telling what we're going to discuss on the Real Vintage Podcast here. Hunting season is just a few days away. So I'll be really busy this fall with some hunting and some scouting and Lord, hopefully some game in the freezer and maybe some mounts on the wall, hopefully. Going to be covering some states and different things. I'll have to share some stories with you. And so I'm looking forward to that. Sometimes we'll talk about hunting and fishing, and other times we'll talk about maybe some, Jeeps, of course, or beard products or leather products or Bibles. Or then sometimes we'll get into the spiritual, of course, and the most important part. And so this week, though, we are going to continue with our wonderful interview with Pastor Bill Prater. He's a dear friend. I know you got to know a little bit about his salvation testimony and where he's at and how he took the church. And this part, we're gonna kind of cover where he is today and what's led up to Bill Prater 2020. So we're very thankful for our listeners. So thank you for tuning in and listen to the podcast. That leads me, I guess, to the kind of the last little bit about where you are and what led you into your current career, which would be with the law enforcement. And so how many years have you been attached, or how did that come about to be a law enforcement officer?
I began looking for an opportunity to get more involved in our community. And a number of pastors that I knew were actively involved in the chaplaincy. And so, as the Lord would have it, a young officer and his wife started visiting Fellowship Baptist Church. And when Katie and I went to make a follow-up visit with them, I expressed to him my desire to become a police chaplain. I had contacted the police department. At that point, they didn't have any openings. And so I told Chris, I said, listen, you know, if you hear of something, let me know. I would love to get involved in some way. And it wasn't long after that, and he called me and said, hey, we've got an opening for a chaplain. And so I just went in one day. I walked in a civilian, walked out a chaplain.
Wow.
I had no idea what it was about. I didn't know how I was supposed to do it. I was blessed to have Chris in my corner, because my entry into the lives of officers was really pretty easy and pretty quick, as opposed to the road that a lot of chaplains have to travel, who really never get the privilege of breaching that line and really getting into these guys' lives. But Chris would let me ride with him often. And once he started vouching for me, and other officers would understand what I'm saying there, word got out that my nickname, I don't know how I got it, but it was Preacher Man. They still call me Preacher Man. Yeah. I love for them to call me Preacher Man.
Yeah.
When word got out that Preacher Man was okay, I mean, I could get in virtually any car I wanted to on any given Friday night and ride with the guys. And so one night I was riding with one of our guys. We met up with another guy, and we were eating at Pizza Hut. And as a chaplain does, I was listening to them. I was giving them someone to vent to that they could trust, and somebody they knew was a safe place to vent. And department, the morale wasn't real good. We were low staffed. These guys were just working themselves to death. And so they were going back and forth about, you know, all of the woes of law enforcement, liberal Kansas at that time. When one of them shoved a salt shaker across the table to me and said, "Preacher Man, you just need to go to the academy and come out here and do what we do. You're out here all the time anyway. You train with us. You go to the range with us." And I just blew it off, honestly. But they were serious. And to make a long story short, I visited with my wife about it. I visited with the deacons about it. It was really a pretty easy sell to the deacons, to the church as a whole, because they could look out on any given Sunday, really any given service, and see the fruits of the chaplain ministry, families that we'd been able to reach with the gospel. And so my position on that was it was just going to take me another step closer and more deeply into the lives of these men and their families. And so I went to the academy and was commissioned as a patrol officer at the Liberal Police Department in 2007. Wow. Came back, did all the field training. One day about lunchtime, the lieutenant came out and said, "Hey, go home and eat lunch, then we're going to cut you loose." And so I've been protecting and serving since 2007.
So since 2007, you pastored a church and you were a police officer with the Liberal Kansas Police Department.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
They still to this day let me make my own schedule. Mondays was my day off at the church, and so I would generally work the day shift, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., on Mondays, and then I would go in on Friday nights. I'd usually go in at 1800 and work till the bar crowd slowed down to two or three. You know, if we got into something, obviously I'd stay longer. But I did that for a number of years, and then because they were so good to me, if they had a time when they would call and say, "Hey, so-and-so's got to go to training. Can you cover his shift for that day?" I always tried to accommodate them because they had been so good to me.
Yeah. So you're now currently, you're no longer head pastor, I guess you could say, and still serving in the church, doing everything, which I find is absolutely amazing. But then now you're police duties, I'm sure, has ramped up.
They have. I've intentionally, taken on another shift. And, you know, every week, you know, I get, "Hey, Breacher Man, when are we going to get you full time? Can you just do this full time?" And you know, that's not what God has for me right now. You know, what God has for me is, for lack of a better term, evangelism. You know, I'm done pastoring, but I'm still passionate about preaching. I want to preach. I want to help. And so God's opened that door, and I'm glad he has. And we'll keep walking through the doors that he opens, like this weekend.
Right.
Next weekend, I get to be with our friend Jake Potter.
Is he your friend?
Well, yeah. I teased him. I said, "Listen, I know what you're doing. You're bringing me on Labor Day to kind of diminish the possibility of any damage I could cause." So anyway, he says he's not, but you and I know better than that.
Oh, Potter.
He's a good guy.
He's great.
And so anyway, that.
So you got some weekend stuff definitely where you could still continue to really, that's your passion.
Yes.
I know it is. And man, that never leaves you. If anything, it gets stronger and stronger.
Absolutely.
But I've listened to you preach online, and of course, loved how you've pastored your church, just watching it from the outside. And so I want that for our church. I want people that's going to, man, get into the lives of the people, roll your sleeves up and just dive in. There's nothing fancy about us, man. You kind of remind me of that. And I love that because that's what makes great churches is having a down to earth pastor that's just willing to get in there with you and help you. And then the same thing, these churches all over the nation, that's what we need today. We need pastors that'll come in that are just, they're not riding in here on a chariot or riding in here on some super something. They're just people, and they're here to help the church. And I recommend to you pastors that are listening, Pastor Prater, pastor now been in full-time service for 39 years, whether it be an assistant or a pastor, and now he is, I guess, pastor / evangelist / police officer, which is amazing because I love the transition and then what God's doing in his life now, and I'm sure all that's still developing. I guess one of the last things is now that the law enforcement is front and center and it's kind of where you are in your life right now, just 2020, that's all we have to say. Sure. And I know it's things were happening before 2020, but the dangers that law enforcement are facing on a daily basis, no matter if you're in small town America or if you're in big cities, do you think about it every day? Do you think about, I mean, is it on your mind when you put the uniform on?
Well, I mean, honestly, it has to be. The moment that it's not is the moment you're going to get caught off guard and your wife's going to get the knock on the door that says your husband's gone. I'm not making Liberal Kansas out to be the crime hub of the universe, but you know we've got our issues, and you've got to put on the duty gear with the mind that there are people out there that would not mind seeing you hurt or maimed or even killed. And so you have to have that mindset every
yeah.
day.
I honestly believe that if we were to interview the average American and say, what do you feel about the police force, law enforcement in general? The average American would say, most would say, we love our law enforcement.
I agree.
But it's the minority of that group that has the louder voice that's saying, I mean, I can't imagine people actually believing that we should defund the police force, kick them out of our cities. But my whole question to them is, when trouble comes, which it will, what do you do? What is their answer to defunding the police? What is the alternative to them? Is it that they're just going to like everybody and everybody's going to get along now that the bad guys who were supposed to be the good guys are gone? And I was raised that by my dad and mom that, man, the police were just, they were our friends, that they're the good guys, and you always be respectful, and you better watch your mouth when you talk. I had a friend who sassed a law enforcement guy. It was a state trooper, North Carolina state trooper, and he played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was he's a little older than I am, but this state trooper was retired, Philadelphia Eagle lineman. And so he smart-mouthed him and so said, man, I'll whoop you. If you wasn't in that badge, I'd take you. So the guy said, get out of the car. Now, this was before all the body cameras and stuff. Hey, that state trooper took him to town, man, beat the fire out of that guy. And I'm telling you, this guy was a big guy. And the guy got out of the car, and he said, I've never seen arms like that. He said, man, he welded me over the head. And, my thing is and, of course, he was, after that, it changed him, his perspective about these guys behind the badge. But, I was just raised with it that we respected law enforcement. And do you think that this is going back on family and fatherless and kind of hinging back on the raising of the home, on the atmosphere there. Do you believe that?
I believe that 100%. I've gotten railed on, you know, via Twitter when I've, you know, made that claim in replying to certain situations. But just in what I see in the, you know, 30 hours or so that, you know, that I work during a week, I can just tell you that so much of what we deal with, especially when it comes to juveniles, is because there's no father in the home. And those juveniles grow up to be adults who have never been disciplined, who have never had any kind of boundaries whatsoever. And they learn that adulting is hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, choices have consequences. And once you turn 18, those consequences become much more severe than when you're 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I would say 100%, a lot of it, the majority of it goes back to fatherlessness.
I've always thought that as well, you know, sin problem, but a lot of kids are raised today by grandparents and all kinds of stuff, single parents and all that. And I believe it's just a true sign of how our homes are in our nation. Let me ask you this, and you can say yes or no, but do you believe that there needs to be some type of reform in law enforcement across the board?
That's a hard question. You know, there may be some changes here and there. I know that, you know, there's a big push right now to do away with no-knock warrants. But a lot of times they just don't understand the nature of it. It's unfortunate what happened, you know, to that civilian when they knocked on the wrong door, went in the wrong house. But there are reasons for those things. And so we could go on and on about that. Maybe, Brother Stephen, there are some things that could change. But I'll just tell you this. I don't know a police officer, one, that jumps in his patrol unit hoping that at some point in the day he's going to get to do somebody bodily harm.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just do not believe that. And I would encourage, and I'm going to guess most people that are going to listen to this probably understand this already, but two things I would say to them. Number one, just learn to comply with the verbal commands given by a police officer. They have to understand that when he got into law enforcement, he made a vow to his family, I'm going to come home at night.
Right.
And so just comply. You know, it's better to, if you feel like you were mistreated or unjustly charged, there are avenues to pursue that. But if you violently resist and you have to make an officer respond in a way that he uses lethal force, then you'll never have the opportunity to bring a complaint to the department or to bring a lawsuit against the department. And most people have to understand it's mandatory now that officers wear body cams,
right,
and we activate those on any interaction that we have with the public.
Yeah.
And so there, it's better. It just seems better to me to go to jail alive, bond out, and then fight your battle than it is to try to fight a battle with an armed police officer. It just doesn't make any sense.
You're not
going
to win.
No.
I mean, you just resist an arrest. You know, I've seen where one state recently, now they're lowering a crime to where it's like a misdemeanor on
Virginia.
Assault,
yes, sir.
On an officer, a
yes.
misdemeanor.
Yes.
I'm like, are you serious? You're all you're doing is just promoting violence behavior toward a police officer. And my thing has always been, hey, if a police officer pulls me over and asks me to get out of the car, I'm just going to get out of the car. And, you know, you step out of the car, sir, and all that. You know, I've always, because I know I'm not guilty of anything. So I'm just, but I'm not going to sit there and argue with him all day and then have him call another officer. Right. And then, you know, then put on a little show there. And I think what a lot of this is happening because of, you know, now we got cameras, civilians has got cameras. So they're hoping to catch, you know, on these cell phones and post it to YouTube and Facebook. And they're just wanting that. You know, officers are in a catch-22. It's almost like they can't win, you know.
And that's, you know, that's the second thing I would say. And if we've learned anything over the last several months, it's this. What you see initially from a cell phone video is not the whole story.
No.
So let's wait until everything comes out.
Yep.
Before we start burning down buildings and looting and hurting people.
Yep.
And I understand that the people that are doing that, they don't care about the truth.
Yeah,
they're
no.
looking for an opportunity to do what they want to do.
Right.
And obviously that's a big, long discussion. I mean, yeah. You want to protest from sun up to sundown.
Right.
But other people are hijacking those. And we know that.
Well, I think the looting and the destruction is only it's deafening the voice of true injustice and
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean the protesters should be the peaceful protesters should be mad at the angry at the ones that's going in just destroying.
And
if that's what they're
starting to get mad.
I'm sure. And the like I said earlier, the average American citizen, whether it be Republican or Democrat, would be in line with the law enforcement and staying in their cities. And I love our law enforcement here at Bible Baptist. We have many. I thank the Lord for that. And then we hopefully can reach more.
Amen.
During this pandemic, we reached out to all the law enforcement and fed them. And they know we're here. They love us. A lot of them, when I go into a restaurant or go into somewhere, they all throw their hands up. You know, they know because we have a law enforcement officer that is always on duty here at our services on mm-hmm. Sunday morning. And so it's a different one. We've got to witness to a bunch of them. We have special law enforcement days. And so you being, you know, a pastor, evangelist, you know, just going out, you know, ministering to churches. And then also the everyday putting on the uniform to me is just, it's just, you may be the one of the only few in America, that does that. But what a blessing you have been on both sides of that. You can minister to people in a spiritual, and then you can also administer the law, you know, and talk to them on the other side, the practical, like, hey, you know, wake
up. It's a unique opportunity. I realize that it's something that's been given to me, by God. And, you know, I'm thankful for it. I love law enforcement people. I get them. I mean, honestly, they're kind of a subculture.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just, once you get to know them, they're just average people.
Yeah.
That just want to live life. They're trying to make a living and they want to provide for their families and they want to be a help to their community.
Yeah.
And so, you know, keep loving our guys and gals. They're good people.
Well, we do here at the Real Vintage Podcast. We love our law enforcement, and if any of them's listening, we do love you and appreciate you. And they call you the preacher man. So we're thankful that we had the preacher man on the podcast last couple episodes. And so I want to thank you personally for coming, being on the podcast, and also ministering to our church this weekend and learning a little bit more about. Well, we learned a lot about you just in this short time, but me personally, because I didn't know hardly any of these things, and so it's been always good. But thank you for joining us today, and we thank you, listeners, that you've been tuned in, and man, this podcast has been growing, and keep the downloads and the shares and the social media likes and the retweets and all the different things. And so we're just delighted again to be sharing and just getting to know Pastor Prater a little bit. And so message us, email us, and let us know about the podcast. And you've been listening, been meeting people that's been tuned in, and it's been exciting. So God bless. And there's a lot of podcasts out there that you can listen to, but there's only one Real Vintage Podcast. Thanks a lot.